We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're at the end of the ninth chapter, page Kuf Ayin Dalid. And the Chafetz Chaim again is going to discuss something that's very common, very applicable. What are we supposed to do when our children say Lashon Hara? So, kid comes home and he says, we were in class and the one boy made fun of another boy. So is that Lashon Hara? Kid comes home and he says, the teacher's picking on me. Is that Lashon Hara? Kid comes home and he says, my brother was picking the flowers off of the garden in the school. Is that Lashon Hara? A kid comes home and he says, the bus driver is not nice to us. Is that Lashon Hara? What, is there any of those that you as a parent don't want to hear? Are there any examples that as a parent you don't feel it's necessary to know? So this actually enters a very sticky realm, a complicated realm. Because as a parent, there's a lot that you do need to know. You do need to know what's going on in your kid's class. You do need to know if the teacher is picking on him. You do need to know if a friend is beating him up. And there's a lot you do have to know. And that's why the applications of this halakha have to be really thought out. It's not just I read it, so therefore anytime my son tries to tell me something bad about someone, I say, no, it's Lashon Hara, don't tell me. A child, on the contrary, has to know that there are many things they can tell their parents. And that the general rule is you're not only allowed to, you're supposed to share with your parents what's going on. When one of my kids told me that his friends were playing with gunpowder, that was an important piece of information for me. Then we could start discussing safety of fires and what could happen. And when the child insisted, but I'm standing very far away, we could explain to him that very far away from a bullet means out of sight. So you want a child to feel comfortable telling you that. And if they don't tell you that, so then you're not going to be able to do your job as a parent. On the contrary, part of the hardship as a parent is getting any information out of your kid. So we're going to learn the halakha, but it's a little bit difficult to know the practical applications of the halakha. The Chafetz Chaim writes, we're on page Kuf Ayin Dalid, halakha hey. Veda, and I want you to know, even if one heard their son and daughter, who is a minor, speaking Lashon Hara, mitzvah ligo behem ulafrisha mizeh. It's a mitzvah to yell at them and get them to stop. Kedichtiv, as the verse says, chanoch lanar al pi darko. One has to educate a child based on that child's needs, based on their path. As is explained in Or HaChaim at the end of Hilchot Shabbat, l'inyan kol isurim shebat Torah, we have this rule with regards to all prohibitions of Torah, that we have a responsibility to educate a child. We educate them what food isn't kosher. We educate them how not to turn on a light on Shabbat. We also educate them not to speak Lashon Hara. But again, the practical applications are complicated. So let's take a few examples where it would seem where it is applicable to tell a child that's Lashon Hara. So your child comes home and he says, I heard in this and this yeshiva, there's a fight going on. I hear this rabbi said that rabbi is worthless and that rabbi said this rabbi is worthless. So there you ask your child, why are we allowed to discuss it? Isn't that Lashon Hara? A child comes home and he says, so-and-so was called to the Torah, and then his father was called to the Torah a few aliyos later, and it doesn't sound like he was called by his father's name. He was called Chaim ben Moshe, and then his father was called to the Torah, and his father was called Yaakov ben Moshe. How come he was called Chaim ben Moshe? So you could tell your son, I'm not sure we should be discussing other people's private information. Why? Maybe his mother got divorced and this is his stepdad who brought him up and he's being called by his biological father. Maybe many reasons. It's a good question. But maybe we shouldn't be discussing people's private information. He comes home and he says, I hear the neighbor's getting divorced. Oh boy. Wait, son. Is it relevant to us? Should we really be discussing it? So if it's a fear a child has, then the child should feel legitimate sharing their fears with their parents. But if it's just talk, if it's, I hear the yeshiva that my school is going to fire this and this Rebbe, and I hear the reason why is, wait, Is it legitimate for us to be discussing your Rebbe and why he's getting fired? You will find at home that there are opportunities, and it's a balancing act, but there are opportunities to train your children that certain things are Lashon Hara. The fine line you have to walk is that children have to understand that things that are important, they do have to share with their parents. Children, you can only help them as a parent if you know what's going on. If a child won't share with you that they're wasting their day, then you can't know that they should really get extracurricular assistance. I had a kid in the shul I was growing up in. There was a young man who we saw go from sanity to insanity. Literally. We saw him over the years literally go mad. And years later I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard from a teacher in the school where he had grown. We weren't in the same elementary school. I heard that the principal used to pick on him repeatedly. He'd literally embarrass him in front of other kids, and he slowly wore away at his self-confidence to the point where the kid lost it. And the parents didn't know how to back the kid and help him, or maybe switch schools. And the teacher said, this is a kid that was destroyed by this principal. True, not true. Was it Lashon Hara for the teacher to say it? Was it relevant? But the bottom line is, if that child didn't share it with his parents, they didn't have the tools to help him. So it's very important that our children know that they can turn to us when they have problems. Our job as parents is to help them. And here we have to be very careful as we educate our children not to talk Lashon Hara. We could teach them that it shouldn't be pointless Lashon Hara. That when it's litzorech, when there's a need, then they're allowed to tell us. So again, it's a balancing act, but children have to have a baseline that the lines of communication with parents are open. And if something's bothering me, I have to discuss with my parents. That has to be the baseline. Then there are times where we'll be able to tweak it, where we can tell a child, I really don't see why that's necessary. I don't think so. I don't think we should be discussing that. Sometimes we'll have a guest, and after the guest leaves, a kid will ask all kinds of interesting questions about the guest. And the answer is, I think that's Lashon Hara. I don't think we should be discussing that. Sometimes a kid asks, I don't know, what would be a relevant question? What would be a relevant question? I don't know what you guys are privy to, but there's all kinds of, there are always things brewing. And so a kid says, I heard that people from this crowd won't give people from that crowd an Aliyah LaTorah. Say, I don't know, shuls I go to, everyone gives everyone an Aliyah to the Torah. And if you heard of different shuls, I don't think we should speak about it. Those are shuls that are doing something wrong. We don't try to publicize what's wrong. I think that's under the heading of Lashon Hara. So there will be examples where kids are interested in getting the fight, you know, finding out at home what so-and-so said about so-and-so. And there, I think the kids can understand that that's Lashon Hara. Even in shuls, unfortunately, or in communities, there are times where there's a fight between two people. And again, you could train the kids. We shouldn't be talking about it. So-and-so sued so-and-so. He claims he stole from him this and this amount. Isn't that Lashon Hara? Why are we allowed to discuss that? What relevance does it have to us? When children understand that things have to have a relevance, then they can learn that when it has a relevance, then I'm allowed to discuss it. As they'll mature, they'll understand that that relevance has to be better defined. I taught the kids at home that muktzah can be moved l'tzorech gufo and l'tzorech mekomo. So my wife told me that our 5-year-old is moving around the muktzah all day telling everyone it's tzorech gufo, it's tzorech mekomo. I want to sit down here, it's tzorech mekomo. So I'm sitting there baffled. I was talking to the older kids. I didn't even notice he was paying attention, the 5-year-old. But he heard there's an out to muktzah. He liked it. So now he's trying to figure out how to apply it. Okay, kids can catch on. And if you explain it and you refine it, again, we have to begin by erring on the side that children will be open with us and introducing them to the concept that we can't idly talk negative things about people. Over time, we can define it better, depending on the child's understanding. And now we'll just read the Chafetz Chaim's footnotes. V'chama tzarich ha'av, on the bottom of the page, adlich banav tamid narutam b'inyan shmirat ha'lashon milashon ha'ra. A parent really has to train his child from the time he's young to be careful and watching and guarding his tongue. And again, there are ample opportunities because, unfortunately, there's always something that people are talking about. There's always some kind of slander that's going around. People also have to train their kids not to talk about the fights that are going on, lies that are being spread. The Gra writes that as well. The Gra writes, our manner of speech and our traits is something that requires habit. What we're really trying to train ourselves is to have good habits, habits of speech. What happens when someone yells at you? Do you yell back? I had a guy come over to me this morning. There's something I volunteered to help with. And I was just overseeing the people who were doing it. And I hadn't noticed in the last 2 weeks they weren't doing their job. So he comes and he starts yelling at me, how come this isn't being taken care of? I stood there listening. I said, okay, I didn't know it wasn't being taken care of. I'll check with the people responsible. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. And he's yelling, it's not right. People count on this and it's not fair for them. And okay, I listened to him. A minute later, I went and I asked the person. The person thought that people weren't interested. He said, fine, I hear it. We'll take care of it. Then a day or two, it'll be back. The guy comes back to me in the afternoon, and he says to me, no, what do you say? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I said something to you this morning. I said to him, yeah, and I say that you should do tshuva for what you said. So he says to me, what are you talking about? I said, it's usher to yell at a Jew. You yelled at me this morning. Why'd you yell at me? You needed something. You wanted something. It's legitimate. I took care of it. But what's the legitimacy in yelling at me? The pasuk says, lo tonu ish et amito, and it says it twice. Once to tell us you're not allowed to afflict a fellow Jew. I think you have to do tshuva. Why'd you yell at me this morning? So the guy says, well, did you learn your lesson? I said, I think you should go learn that halacha again. I don't think it's right to yell at someone else. I don't think he got the point, but it's a habit. Meaning if we're in the habit that when someone yells at us, we yell back, so then we'll also be in the wrong. Baruch Hashem, he yelled at me and I didn't yell back. I listened. At first I thought he was joking. I couldn't imagine that when you volunteer for something, and I don't owe the guy anything, he's going to come yelling at me. And then I realized he was serious. I felt bad. Why is he yelling at me? I'm doing him a favor. So when people get used to you doing them a favor, then they feel like they're entitled to demand it from you. But even if he was in the right, it says the Gra, part of what we're trying to acquire in life is habits. Habits, the way we react is very often a matter of habit. And what we're trying to accomplish is to attain a habit. A habit, a good habit, and the way we speak is a habit. When we sit down, do we talk with people divrei Torah, or do we talk about empty things, or do we talk about other people? That's a habit. When we hear Lashon Hara, do we think to ourselves, no, I shouldn't be listening to that, I shouldn't be talking about that? That's a habit. V'argel al kol davar shilton. Our habits are really the masters over everything, because our habits are what we do without thinking. So they really take control of our lives. When I was in high school, Rabbi Beryl Wein was our Rosh Yeshiva, and he used to tell us, you should be in the habit of keeping your hands in your pockets. Don't touch things that aren't yours. Don't touch other people. Don't do things that'll get you into trouble. Keep your hands in your pockets. Keep your hands to yourselves. That's a good habit. And he always used to tell us, develop good habits. ובאמת כאשר נתבונן היטב נמצא שסיבת פרצות האבון אמר שלשון הרע חפץ חיים says, if you take a good look, you'll see that the reason that the transgression of לשון הרע is so rampant, ומפני שכל אחד הוגל מנערותו, it's because people got into that habit from the time they were young, לדבר מה שהוא רוצה בין מוחה. People feel free to talk about other people, and there's no one who protests. People feel like if I have what to say, that means I'm entitled to say it. No one entertains the thought, maybe it's prohibited, maybe I'm not allowed to say that. And that's why even if a person learns the halacha later on, it becomes very difficult to change one's nature. He's already acquired it as his second nature. That's how he talks. I invited someone to our house for a Shabbos meal. And I've been inviting him for years. And finally, this past Friday night, I caught him and he felt cornered. He said, fine, I'm coming. So at the end of the meal, now he's an older bachelor, at the end of the meal, I said to him, you know, it's important to go to other people's houses for Shabbos meals. You can't just sit at home with your parent year after year. As you see other people, it also exposes you to new relationships. You see the way other couples behave. You see how other families run. It exposes you also to different concepts of the type of home you want to build. And that's important. So he says to me, you know, if I go to other people's houses, some people, when you go there, what they're talking about is Lashon Hara, the whole meal. So I took a step back. I said, really? That's what people talk the whole meal? They have nothing better to talk about? He says, some people. He said, you know, it's a nice idea to go to other people for the meals, but not everyone spends their meal talking Divrei Torah or listening to the kids. And so that's a habit. We have to make sure that our Shabbos table is a table where we speak positive things. We listen to the kids. We tell them stories. They tell us what's going on in their lives. And we don't talk Lashon Hara. And that's a habit. It's the way a home has to run. If a parent ensures that the habits of the home is that we're not spending our time talking about other people, we're not spending our time talking Lashon Hara, part of it is also, do we use profanity? In some homes, it's common that people swear, people curse. So it becomes second nature for the kids. It's very hard to change that habit. Even when we hear people cursing, if you're in the presence, you spend your day volunteering at a work site, and the people around you curse. The next time your hammer misses the nail, the first thought that's going to come to your mind is a swear or a curse word. Habit, environment, and the same thing about lying. I once had a student that, good kid, but He used to lie often, and he used to lie, and he also was caught shoplifting. So they called me from a nearby candy store, and they said, you're his teacher. We just want you to know that the kid is shoplifting, and we're not sure what to do about it. We don't want to call the police. He's a 13-year-old kid, but the flip side is, I mean, the kid's shoplifting. We could tell him he's not allowed to come into the store, but his friends are coming into the store. We could walk with him, which is what we've been doing when he walks into the store, but we'd rather you deal with it. So I called the parents, and I set up a meeting. And then I called back to reconfirm the meeting, and the mother says, I'm sorry, my husband's not home now. I can't answer you about whether yes or no. And a second later, I hear him in the background. So I said, that's interesting. And I hear her going, shh. Now you want to tell me we can't talk about it now. We need to discuss it. We need to think about it. It's one thing. and then she tells me, you know what? But we set up the meeting for 3 o'clock today. We're going to have trouble getting there at 3. Let's make the meeting for 4:30. So I say, okay. She says, yeah, the traffic's horrendous at 3. And we can't make it at 3. She didn't need to tell me that reason. The kid comes the next day and tells me, you know, my parents really wanted to see that baseball game. And they didn't want to be there at 3 because they wanted to see the baseball game. And I'm thinking to myself, why'd she have to lie to me? Don't give me a reason. Just say we'd rather make it at 4:30. And I kept seeing that in our conversations over the simplest thing, they would just lie. Everything they told me, anytime we had something to discuss, they'd give me the answer that best fit what they thought we were trying to do, but it wasn't connected to the truth. And then I suddenly realized that the kid was growing up in a house where lies were just a matter of discourse. Okay, that's his habit. Says the Chafetz Chaim, part of the habits we want our children to acquire is talking honestly. My kids very often, you'll see, when initially you tell your kid, I can't come to the phone, so your kid is going to say, my father's not home. And you'll tell your kids, please don't say that, that's a lie. Why don't you just say, Abba can't come to the phone now. The kids say that I'm uncomfortable saying that. So you say you should be more uncomfortable saying a lie. Tell the truth. Say, I can't come to the phone now. It's not personal. I can't come. It's a legitimate answer to tell someone, I'm sorry, my father can't come to the phone now. But again, what are we teaching the kids? Very often it's easier. People will walk out of the house and say, tell them I'm not home now. Don't tell them you're not home. You go lie down and the phone rings. Tell them I'm asleep. Don't say you're asleep. Say my father went to lie down. That's the truth. Whether he's sleeping or not is irrelevant. If we take a minute to think about it, in most scenarios, we can tell the truth and get exactly the same result. Lying is the easy way out, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's another habit you want in your home. It's a habit that kids acquire from the home. You get children into that habit, so then they'll be in that habit. And then that's the way they'll talk. If you have that baseline, then it's easier for a child to grab it and say, okay, now let me perfect it. They'll always have something to work on. But it'll be a matter of perfecting it. It won't be a matter of turning it upside down. And then they'd merit the great things in this world and the world to come, כמו שנאמר מהאיש, as it says, who is the man who seeks life, החפץ חיים, אוהב ימים לראות טוב, ניצול לשונך מהרה, ושפתיך מדבר מרמה. Be careful not to say evil, be careful not to say deceit. Right? That's the pasuk. Okay, so, חפץ חיים is talking about how we train our kids. The truth is, we also have to train ourselves. And I find that when it comes to changing a habit, the first step to changing a habit is to start correcting ourselves. Meaning, let's say a person's used to lying. So you ask a person, why didn't you make it to our chavrusa today? And the guy says, I wasn't feeling well. And then he stops and he remembers, no, I wasn't thinking. It's not, I wasn't feeling well. I was tired, or I was running late, or I got delayed on the train. So very often when a person's used to lying, so they're used to spitting out an answer without thinking. And then they think about it and they say, actually, that wasn't true. So a person has to, the first step, you're not going to change overnight. So the first step is to pause and say, I'm sorry, I said that. I just remembered. That's not true. I didn't make it this morning because whatever their reason is. So the first step when we want to change a habit is correcting what we've done wrong. And this is true of most habits. Meaning, if a person knows, let's say a person is trying to enter the habit of not using someone else's objects without their permission. So the first step is when we do it to go over to someone and say, "I did this, and I'm sorry. I should have asked your permission before I did it." Meaning, the first step in tshuva, if I want to change my own habits, is to go over to someone and say, "I'm sorry. I did this. I shouldn't have done it." Then I could go on to the next step and I'll catch myself halfway through doing it. I still won't be able to catch myself before I do it, but at least as I'm in the process of doing it, I'll catch myself. So if a person's used to lying and someone asks him, where were you this morning? He'll say, I was at Chakras. And then he'll catch himself and say, well, actually, no. I showed up to the last 5 minutes of Chakras. So will he be able to say the truth off the bat? No. I don't know of any way to turn over our habits, but we can change them. The way to change them is first to come back and say, you know, I said A, and I realized it was B. I want to correct what I've said. And then catch ourselves mid-sentence, midstream. And then finally you'll be able to catch yourself in the beginning of the sentence until ultimately you'll catch yourself just as you're about to start the sentence before you've said it. And finally you'll reach the point where you'll get into the habit of speaking differently. But it takes time. We'd like to think, you walk out of this classroom and you'd sign, I'm going to talk differently, it's done. It doesn't work that way. It might be frustrating, but that's how we change. We fake it until we make it. We slowly work on a habit.